Welcome to the Eurovision Yearbook. This is a series where we take a look at the glory days of the Eurovision Song Contest and look back at the fond memories of a Eurovision artist. This week, we are once again flipping the pages of the 1966 Eurovision Song Contest, and this time exploring the life of Michel Thor, Luxembourg's representative in 1966 and Monaco's representative in 1977. This is ESC 101. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to ESC 101, your home of Eurovision history and obscurity. This is the podcast where we take a look at the Eurovision Song Contest throughout the years to uncover the story behind the world's largest international televised music competition. Welcome to episode 15. My name is Alexander. I'm always fascinated to look at the lives of Eurovision artists who have represented more than one country at different contests. There are some obvious examples, such as those that have represented Yugoslavia and went on to represent one of the successor countries. But this week, we are looking at an artist who is neither Luxembourgish nor Monegasque, yet ended up representing both countries at some point in their life. Let's dive right into the life of Michel Thor. Michel Kléber Thor was born on April 7, 1947 in Pertuis, France, located in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region in southeastern France. The eldest daughter of Charles and Clément Thor, she has a younger sister named Brigitte, and Michel's mother was extremely passionate about singing and brought up Michel and presumably Brigitte surrounded by music. The French and English Wikipedia articles are conflicted on when Michel began her music career. The French article, which has much more extensive information on Michel, claims she won her first contest at age 6, singing the song Bonbon Caramel by Annie Cordy. And the English article claims that she won her first singing contest at age 15, winning the Enchante dans mon quartier contest in Avignon. The French article does mention the Avignon contest later on, so I'm going to assume that the French article is correct. After winning her first contest, Michel is put forward as a candidate by her mother to perform several radio hooks in the style of Edith Piaf. It's fascinating to see Michel's music career start so early, and I wonder if it was because her mother influenced her to go into music, or whether Michel just had a genuine desire to go into music and her mother helped her to encourage and support her. In either case, Michel flourished in music and built herself an extensive career. I laughed when I read the English Wikipedia article on Michel, where it says, "Michel was a tall and beautiful woman with actress-like expression," as if she stopped being tall and beautiful at some point. I have it on good authority that she continues to be tall and beautiful to this day. What does weird me out about this, though, is that the sentence is written in the section around the singing contest she won in 1962, so I can't tell if the article is describing her when she was 15 or if it's just describing her in general. Either way, to me, it feels a bit creepy to describe a teenager that way, but maybe that's just my own perspective. Speaking of 1962, this is where the English article says that she won her quote-unquote first contest. She took part in the Enchante dans mon quartier contest in Avignon by singing a cover of the song Exodus by Edith Piaf, easily beating runner-up Myriel Mathieu, who sung a cover of Les Cloches de Lisbonne by Maria Candido. A year later, in 1963, Michel won a recording contract with Mercury Records and ended up opening for Jacques Brel at the Paris Olympia, which is a concert venue opened in 1893 by one of the creators of the Moulin Rouge. Michel ends up releasing three EPs starting in 1964, aiming for radio and jukeboxes. Her first record was C'est du devoir 16 ans, It's Hard to Be 16. Her first chart success was with her song Dans mes bras oublier ta peine, In My Arms Forget Your Pain, reaching 15th. 15th of what? I have no idea, but that's what it says in the article. She also ended up adapting English language songs into French, but none of those ended up charting. Tragedy struck Michelle in 1965. On December 28th, while performing in Marseille, her mother dies in a car crash in the Renault 4L that Michelle gifted to her just a few months earlier. But despite her mother's death, Michelle carried on in her music career. In April of 1966, she is featured in a photograph which has been dubbed Photo of the Century for the French magazine Salut les Copains, a magazine which featured pop music and helped in the formation of yéyé, a genre of music in French and Quebecois culture, which is akin to the counterculture pop revolution of the 1960s. Bands like the Beatles would fit into this category of music, and yéyé Eurovision winners include people like France Gall, Sandy Shaw, and Massiel. For Michelle to be part of this photograph, it shows the direction of which her music career was going. And in fact, France Gall was in the same photograph. A month before the photograph was published, Michelle would make her Eurovision debut. Michel Thor was internally selected by Luxembourg's broadcaster to represent them at the 1966 Eurovision Song Contest. I'm not sure of the circumstances behind her selection, but given her music career at this stage, someone at the broadcaster must have noticed her and decided to choose her. She enters with the song Ce soir je t'attendais, translated as Tonight I was waiting for you. It ended up placing 10th overall, tying with Finland and Germany. Je guette ton pas et me voilà là devant toi, tendant les bras car je savais et je t'attendais. Ce soir je t'attendais, j'étais si sûre que tu viendrais. Overall, this song has merit. It has a good rhythm and her voice is good, but what bothers me is that she looks so restrained. Her face does not stop staring into the camera, and what little facial expression she makes, it doesn't add any extra dimension. It's as if she's been told to stay in place and not move, which, given Denmark and the Netherlands that year, feels like a very bad idea. This song feels like there should be more body movement, and overall, I felt like she wanted to move, but either chose not to or was afraid to. The dress is a very simple draping of cloth. There's almost no shape to it, and its full sleeve length makes it almost look like she's ready for bed. The dress could use a belt, maybe some shortening, and perhaps some additional elements to make it interesting rather than make her look like a ghost. She is 19 years old when this took place, so I'll excuse some of the fashion choices, as perhaps she wanted to look modest at a young age. But honestly, being the 1960s, I think something more interesting would have given her more points. It's certainly better than Italy's entry that year. Make sure to check out episode 7 for my thoughts on that train wreck, but I know Luxembourg could have done better. After her first appearance in Eurovision, Michelle continued to make and perform music. In 1970, she participated in an international song festival held in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, and another song festival held in Japan in 1971. Michelle also participated in the French national selection for Eurovision in 1970, attempting to represent France with the song On s'aimera un peu beaucoup, translated as We shall love each other a little, a lot. She didn't end up advancing past the quarterfinals and ultimately did not end up representing France at Eurovision. During the late 1970s, she began shifting away from the yéyé style of music, working instead towards trying to resonate with a new audience, focusing on a romantic theme with her music. She regained some level of success, charting in both France and Quebec with hundreds of thousands of sales amongst her various songs. In 1977, she returned to the Eurovision Song Contest, this time representing the microstate of Monaco. Again, I'm not certain of the circumstances of Michelle representing Monaco, but I suppose she caught the attention of the right people at the right time. Michelle performed the song Une Petite Française, translated as A Little French Woman, and it ended up coming fourth overall. Et sans avoir de rose, il n'y a pas mieux, je crois, quand
je vois quelques gosses qui jouent autour de moi. Une petite Française née en Provence, quand elle avait 15 ans, 20 à Paris.
So I'm going to admit a bias that I have towards certain types of Eurovision entries. I severely dislike entries that sound like two different songs in one. There's maybe one or two exceptions to this bias, but overall, it just rubs me the wrong way. Having two different types of sounds and rhythms in one song just doesn't click in my brain, and unfortunately, this song does just that. The verses of the song sound powerful and interesting. The chorus of the song sounds fun, boppy, and smooth. But combined, these two sections just don't blend well together. It sounds like two different songs that just get mashed together with no rhyme or reason. She's also very still in this performance. She's rigid, and she does sway more around than her first performance, but she still stands there like a statue. Also, the close-up camera during the verses has a weird fogging effect, and I can't tell if that was done on purpose or if that was a mechanical error, but in any case, she still sounds great, and at least this dress has more interesting dimensions, despite her looking like a multi-tiered birthday cake for a 12-year-old. The backing singer is better dressed than her, but at least she's not the worst dress on the night. Ultimately, the verses are good, the chorus is good, but together, they're not so good. Well done for getting fourth place, but this is not my fourth place, which is sad, considering how much I enjoy Monaco at Eurovision, and I eagerly await their hopeful return in 2025. As far as I understand, Michelle never attempted to return to the Eurovision stage again. She has never had the chance to represent her home country of France, instead representing Luxembourg and Monaco. Throughout the 1970s and 1980s, she continued to perform and release music. She saw great success in the latter half of the 1970s with her song J'aime, I Love, which is an adaptation of ABBA's Arrival. That surpassed 500,000 sales, earning her a gold disc. In 1978, she topped that with her song Emmène-moi danser ce soir, translated as Take Me Dancing Tonight, which sold more than 600,000 copies. And in 1980, she performed her first sold-out show at the Olympia in Paris, with a live album of the concert selling 200,000 copies, earning her another gold disc. She continued to do music appearances both in person and on television, selling multiple records in the hundreds of thousands, not just in France, but in many music markets, including Quebec and Portugal. In the 1990s, Michelle continued to record new albums, but her career began to wind down. She shifted her work to appear in more nostalgic variety shows, attempting to recapture the successes of the 60s and 70s. She continued to perform in concert and compiled many of her hits. She also made covers of her favorite singers, including Edith Piaf. And in 2008, she signed on with Sony BMG import label, releasing an album under them. And in 2012, she released another album of songs under the Sony Music France Smart label. Of course, her work in the 20th and 21st centuries are extremely long and extensive, far too numerous to mention here, but as of the recording of this episode, she continues to perform concerts and shows and is actually active on social media. According to her Wikipedia page, Michelle had an affair with the singer Christophe, whose real name is Daniel Bevilacqua. She had a son named Romain in 1967, but Christophe denied the son all his life, and Romain has multiple sclerosis. Michelle does end up marrying Jean Vidal, who took on Romain, and they ended up having a daughter together in 1973 named Emilie. In the 1990s, Michelle and Jean ended up divorcing, where Michelle discovers a secret debt that Jean hid from her, amounting to 5 million francs, which is around 750,000 euros. That is a lot of debt to hide from your spouse. Please don't hide things like that from your significant other. It'll just end very, very badly. After the divorce, Michelle ends up marrying Jean-Pierre Muzidi in 1995, but they ended up divorcing 2 years later. Despite the divorce, they still kept in touch and reunited, but ultimately decided to permanently separate in 2019. Michelle has 4 grandchildren, Charlotte, Samuel, and Raphael from Romain, and Nina from Emilia. Michelle has countless music records, as well as 3 appearances in films. The 1968 film The Devil Loves Jewelry, which was shot in Spain. The 1997 film Ma Vie en Rose, My Life in Pink. And the 2010 film Potiche. She also has 2 books, La Cuisine Provinciale de ma Mère et La Couleur de Mots, the latter serving as an autobiography. She was also awarded the Commandeur de l'Ordre des Arts et des Lettres, Commander of the Order of Arts and Letters, in 2016, which is a ministerial order that rewards people who have distinguished themselves by their creation in the artistic or literary field, or by the contribution they have made to the influence of arts and letters in France and around the world. Michelle also has a website where you can order her albums and even join her fan club. And that is the story of Michelle Tour at Eurovision. She has quite an extensive history and is one of the original artists that helped define counterculture music in the 1960s and 70s. She has a fascinating reach in the development of music, and while her entries at Eurovision were not my personal favorites, I am glad that she is part of Eurovision and now part of this podcast. Let's turn our attention to some Eurovision news now. It's time for the Eurovision Report. Carola Häggkvist, 3-time Eurovision entrant and winner of the 1991 Eurovision Song Contest, has been awarded the Illis Quorum Gold Medal by the Swedish Minister of Culture, being recognized for her outstanding contributions to cultural development via her music career, promoting Swedish music internationally. She was awarded the medal during her concert in the Philadelphia Convention Center. She celebrates her 40th year in the Swedish music industry. This is reported by Elke Vanvert of ESC Extra. Greece has chosen their Eurovision entrant for 2024. The Mediterranean country has selected Marina Sati to represent them at the upcoming contest in Malmö. 2024 serves as the 50th anniversary of Greece debuting at the Eurovision Song Contest. Marina has expressed a desire to break the stereotypes of Greek music and culture, wishing to move away from the plate-smashing and zorba dances, instead focusing on music that allows for a more pure expression. Marina has expressed no outward desire to win, rather seeking her success in producing a more authentic sound for the Eurovision stage. This is reported by Georgia Ifimiadu of WeWe Blogs. This has been the Eurovision Report. Now it's time for Song of the Week. This is the part of the show where I talk about an entry that I enjoy, or maybe I can't stand it. Maybe it's weird or simply stunning in the best possible way. This week's entry I think qualifies as weird and maybe enjoyable. Let's find out which Eurovision entry is this week's Song of the Week. This week's Song of the Week is the Greek entry from 1988, Klon, translated as clown, sung by Aphrodite Frida, composer and lyricist Dimitrios Sakalissis, conducted by Harris Andriadis. It ended up placing 17th, getting 10 points, 7 points from France, and 3 points from Turkey. Cyprus didn't participate that year, so they only got the 10 points instead of 22, which would have made very little difference in the placement either way. I didn't realize just how many clowns Eurovision had. This entry is chaotic and not in a great way. It is the late 1980s, so I can't pass judgment on the untamed hair and the pastel dress, but I will pass judgment on her performance. She looks clueless in some parts of the song, especially during the instrumental bridge. There are some choreographed segments, but other times she's either standing around looking aimlessly or just moving into position as if she thinks the camera isn't showing her. Then during the second instrumental bridge, a clown walks onto the stage and does some fancy distraction work. Even with the distraction, I can see the singer shifting around, kind of standing in place, and I don't know if I should blame the singer or the cameraman, because the camera is just having such a terrible placement and has awful angles. The song itself has a good beat and has elements of a circus vibe with the little xylophone in certain parts. Lyrics from the Diggaloo Thrush website read, "A circus sells joy again in the night, and as a first act, the clown portrays life. Crews, noise, everyone here lives in a fever of activity. Lights and music, time becomes just a moment. Clown, clown, I am the clown. Clown, clown, I am the clown. Ha 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 ha." This song tells of the joys about the circus and being a clown. And while I don't know if Achille Zavatta would approve of this song, be sure to check out episode 6 to learn his story, I enjoy the song itself. The performance is just so unkempt and takes major points away from me. But despite the chaotic performance, this entry gets Song of the Week. Michelle Tour's time in Eurovision really is just a blip compared to her music career in the French world. She's basically one of the founding artists of the French counterculture movement in the 1960s, and she is a legend in her own right. While I might not be a big fan of her Eurovision work, I am certainly a big fan of the work she did in general. And she continues to do concerts to this day, which earns massive respect from me. Having the energy and the dedication to still do shows, even 50 years on, is just incredible to me. So, massive respect to Michelle. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, there are lots of ways to do so. You can reach out to us on Instagram at ESC101podcast, or you can send us an email, ESC101podcast@gmail.com. Be sure to follow the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on so you don't miss out on any future episodes, and be sure to leave us a review so other Eurovision history fans can find us. Next week's episode, we are returning to the Eurovision Travel Guide, so be sure to stay tuned to see which country we're going to be covering next. Here is my attempt at their language. Nadam Seda Se Vidmon Siedice Teyadan. You have been listening to ESC 101. See you next time.